To get us started, I will read page 119 and 120, articles 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the current charter in the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual. Okay, current conference charter, United States and Canada. 1. Purpose. The General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous is the guardian of world services and of the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous. The conference shall be a service body only, never a government for Alcoholics Anonymous. 2. Composition. The conference, US and Canada, shall be composed of area delegates, the trustees of the General Service Board, directors of AA World Services and AA Grapevine, and staff members of the Grapevine and General Service Office. Other countries have created autonomous general service conferences of their own, which rely on the steps and traditions that are protected by the United States and Canada Conference. In addition, these other conferences often turn to the actions of the United States Canada Conference for guidance. Consultation between conferences is encouraged, and a World Service meeting of delegates from the various conferences is held once every 2 years. The United States Canada delegates to the World Service meeting are chosen from the General Service Board. In countries where a general service structure exists, the United States and Canada Conference will delegate sole right to publish our conference-approved literature to the General Service Board of that structure. Only matters seriously affecting AA's worldwide needs shall be the subject of joint consideration. 3. Conference relation to AA. The conference will act for AA in the perpetuation and guidance of its world services, and it will also be the vehicle by which the AA movement can express its view upon all matters of vital AA policy and all hazardous deviations from AA tradition. Delegates should be free to vote as their conscience dictates. They should also be free to decide what questions should be taken to the group level, whether for information, discussion, or their own direct instruction. But no change in Article 12 of the Charter or in the 12 traditions of AA or in the 12 steps of AA may be made with less than the written consent of three-quarters of the AA groups as described in the resolution adopted by the 1955 Conference and Convention. And 4, conference relation to the General Service Board and its corporate services. The conference will replace the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, who formerly functioned as guides and advisors to the General Service Board and its related service corporations. The conference will be expected to afford a reliable cross-section of AA opinion for this purpose. A quorum shall consist of two-thirds of all the conference members registered. It will be understood, as a matter of tradition, that a two-thirds vote of conference members voting shall be considered binding upon the General Service Board and its related corporate services, provided the total vote constitutes at least a conference quorum. But no such vote ought to impair the legal rights of the General Service Board and the service corporations to conduct routine business and make ordinary contracts relating thereto. It will be further understood, regardless of the legal prerogatives of the General Service Board, as a matter of tradition, that a three-quarters vote of all conference members participating in the vote may bring about a reorganization of the General Service Board and the directors and staff members of its corporate services, if or when such reorganization is deemed essential. Under such a proceeding, the conference may request resignations, may nominate new trustees, and may make all other necessary arrangements, regardless of the legal prerogatives of the General Service Board. The conference recognizes the principles contained within the 12 concepts, particularly the right of participation and the right of petition and appeal reflected in, oh, Roman numerals, I'm not good with them, reflected in concepts IV and V. Sorry. In keeping with these principles, the conference may agree to hear concept appeals by brought by members of the conference structure below the conference level on the inverted triangle. Please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. And Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes to the top of the hour. The time is now yours.
Thanks. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, Brooke. So, questions from last week that are left. I've seen the third legacy procedure circumvented at every level, intergroup, area, district, etc., by usually the same people organizing well prior to voting day. You have any experience with how to best handle this? Well, I'll just tell you. While our goal is to remove politicking, that's a spiritual aim, a goal. It doesn't always work because we're made up of alcoholics. So, what I would tell you is long before the next election, whether it's a district, an intergroup, an area, I'm talking about a year, 8 months, whatever, have a workshop on elections, have a workshop on the positions that are coming. Have somebody go through third legacy procedure, not just 2 minutes before an election assembly or a vote at your intergroup or whatever. Also, have people share experience, neutral people, about what shouldn't matter when elections happen. I could throw out a couple. It shouldn't matter who your service sponsor is. If you name your service sponsor, people should vote against you just for that. Your service sponsor has nothing to do with who they're electing, nor does their endorsement or the fact that you're their service sponsor. Not to pick on anyone who's retired, but that's unfair too. Why are we picking on people who work or support a family? Like, if they know how to manage their own time, that's what you should be evaluating. Not somebody getting to the microphone saying, I'm retired, so I have lots of time. As someone who grew up young in service, yeah, there are lots of other things that people should throw out. People should talk to people during these workshops about. You might have to vote for somebody you don't like because you think they would do a better job. You might not invite them over to a cookout in your backyard. It might not be the person who you eat with at your area assembly, but it might be the person you know would do a better job. So all I can tell you is have that. Also, if your area does not have a procedure, hopefully, the area chair has enough authority to just make copies of the third legacy voting procedure that should be available by the hundreds on a day of an assembly, less amount if it's your district. But you don't have to expect that everyone's going to have a service manual with them. Why not just give everybody a simple cheat sheet? Or dare I really go off a deep end? Why not have a QR code right at the assembly sign-in for elections where somebody could quickly bring not only the job descriptions of what you're electing, but a QR code for third legacy procedure? I'm not saying don't have the ones in writing too. Have the hard copies too. Now, if someone tells you we don't do that, that's when you take the time for next year to properly plan. Number one, if you bring 300 copies of the third legacy procedure chart, you're not going to get thrown out of AA if you walk around asking who needs one. Or why not make a motion if your area chair or somebody is so rigid, then put a motion forward that. That should be available for everyone who signs in to be a voter at the election assembly. All I can tell you is, like most AA issues, the time to deal with it is not that day. If that day comes, you're way too late. Let's see, there was another question there. Do you know why the language about primary purpose in the Treatment Workbook Committee was watered down? I'll just say for everybody here, the term watered down or the phrase is that person's opinion. I'm just reading. Why was the phrase as similar to it is the job of the committee to ensure that AA meetings held in these facilities cannot become substance abuse meetings were removed? I do not know why. I think you should talk to your delegate about it. If you don't like the answer you're getting there, some of this material is service material, some of it is conference material. You should send in a conference agenda item, or you should write to the what committee did he say? In the write to the trustees treatment committee. Do I have a concern that, and I'm just basing it on the advisory action I read, so I'm not making this up. The advisory action that approved the plain language big book did so with two caveats that were in the advisory action. One of those caveats was to remove the reference to addiction and addicted. So that does make me grow a little bit concerned that we are trying to step on the toes of some of our other 12-step fellowships. Not that you can't be an alcoholic and have a million other problems, you can. I'm talking about from the purposes of an AA meeting's purpose supposed to be about alcoholism. Whatever other problem you have is really none of our business. Drug addiction just seems to get the most talk about it, but we have lots of other people with lots of other problems, myself included. But I would write in a letter to the trustees treatment committee and I would send in an agenda item and I would make the agenda item broad enough that wherever this was removed, you would like the conference to look at it. So those were the questions left over from last week. So before we get into concept one next week, tonight is to talk about the charter and the bylaws. I just want to say a couple of things and get them out there, especially since this is being recorded. The goal of tonight is not to make an alternate GSR a trustee. The goal of tonight is not to insinuate at all that there isn't a delicate balance between the conference and the trustees, and then the two affiliate corporations, AA World Services and AA Grapevine. Now, there are some people who are very interested in what makes the whole thing tick, like what's behind it all. And the things we're going to talk about tonight are definitely some of those documents. I can only tell you, after years of serving, being able to properly digest it and read it and understand it is difficult. So, if you're a person who really wants to understand the bylaws of either of the three corporations, I would suggest really taking them one, tackling them one at a time. And then I would suggest, finding someone who's experienced with them that can answer your questions. Because they do get complicated. They definitely get complicated. But again, I want to make clear that my goal tonight is we all hear a thing, trust the process, right? In the service manual, it's mentioned once, I want to say. It's regarding the committee process at the conference. Can it be applied to other things in AA? Of course. Do I believe in trusting the process? Of course, as long as I'm allowed to verify. Like, trust but verify. And I believe that AA leaders have an obligation to answer questions, and they should be honored with those questions. It took me a long time, but by the time, I don't want to say the end, probably a couple of years into being a non-trustee director, thank God before I was a trustee, I finally got it through my thick skull that the people asking the questions were asking the questions because they love AA. Now, do they all ask them in the most appropriate way sometimes? No, of course not. But if I wanted to look back at myself and say, have I answered every question in the most appropriate way? No. There's always room for improvement on all sides. But you should never, ever, ever be made to feel bad for asking a question. You should never be labeled a troublemaker for asking a question. Do you want to be the person who has a question on every single topic? No. It's much like the General Service Conference. Talk to any delegate that's been there. Do you have a right to talk about every single item? Yes. But do you want to be effective? And if you want to be effective, well, then you want people to listen when they hear your voice, not like turn their ears off because they're like, this guy again? We just heard from him on the last eight things. So you have to choose, being effective. So I'm going to go at a high level through some of these to point out some things that I think might be interesting for people to know that maybe they don't even know is there. I'm going to, Brooke, you can still see me and hear me, right? Awesome. So, for those who are joining along, I am starting at the current conference charter in the current service manual. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one having pet issues. So, Article 1, Brooke read Articles 1 through 4, but I'm just going to highlight them. The General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous is the guardian of World Services, the 12 Steps, and the 12 Traditions, not the General Service Board. It talks about other countries having their own general service structures. It does say that the traditions and steps are protected by us. Only we can change them. In addition, these other conferences often turn to the actions of the United States-Canada Conference for guidance. The United States and Canada delegates to the World Service Meeting are chosen from the General Service Board. That means any trustee could serve as a delegate to the World Service Meeting. However, usually it's our two trustees at large, Canada and the United States. If one of them gets sick, if we're having an opening, sure, another trustee could fill in. This last, second to last line in Article 2 is important. In countries where a general service structure exists, the United States Canada will designate sole right to publish or conference approved literature to the General Service Board of that structure. So this becomes a problem when there is more than one general service structure in a country. And we have a couple of countries where they've had some fallen out. But according to the charter, we're only allowed to give sole right to publish. So then we have to pick one, and that sometimes happens. Conference relation to AA, Article 3. The conference will act for AA in perpetuation and guidance of its world services and will be also the vehicle by which the AA movement can express its view upon all matters of vital AA policy and hazardous deviations from AA tradition. So the trustees do not have jurisdiction over vital AA policy and hazardous deviations from AA tradition. That's the conference's jurisdiction. Now, this next sentence is super important because it's like it's an urban myth inside AA, the bad information. So let's read it. Delegates should be free to vote as their conference dictates. Okay. They should also be free to decide what questions should be taken to the group. So that means a delegate decides what questions do they need feedback on. It's up to the delegate. But what about these next couple of words? Whether for information, discussion, or their own direct instruction. Boy, does that go against a lot of things I've read in social media lately. The charter specifically gives the right to groups through their area to direct a delegate how to vote. So I know I've heard these long rambling things about right of decision and you do the best for AA as a whole. And if you get new information, you might want to change your vote. That's all valid. And it's not talking about 99% of the time. It's probably talking about 1% of the time. But the conference charter is extremely clear on this. And I'll just read those words again. Or their own direct instruction. Decide what questions should be taken to the group level, whether for information, discussion, or their own direct instruction. So on large matters like the ones that we're all talking about, an area is free. Now, we have secret voting in AA now. I'm not in favor of that. I'm in favor of electronic voting, but not secret voting. We never had secret voting for 60-something years. I went to 10 General Service Conferences as a voting member. If I talked one way at the microphone, people could see that my hand matched the way I was talking. It's part of AA. But now we have secret voting. When we went to electronic voting, we do not use what most voting systems use, which tally votes and have a screen up front and shows how each person voted. We just show the totals. I believe that is very against our concepts. That's just my belief. Is it that I don't trust anyone? No, it's not that. I don't understand why we voted for electronic voting, but nowhere in that advisory action did it talk about changing from somebody knowing how I vote to secret voting. It seems to me that was the bigger change. And that was never done by advisory action. I've read all of those advisory actions. I was there for some of them and voted against them. It just says we're going to switch to electronic voting when the old system was not secret. So now with secret voting, a delegate doesn't have to listen to direct instruction, and direct instruction is mentioned in the conference charter. So I'm just like not making that up. It's the current conference charter. So just a couple of other things. The conference will replace the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, who formerly functioned as guides and advisors to the General Service Board. The conference will be expected to afford a reliable cross-section of AA opinion for this purpose. So when we say reliable cross-section, what are we talking about? We want the conference to look like Alcoholics Anonymous. By the way, that was written long before there were any diversity and inclusion issues all across the country. We were way ahead of that. Are we living up to it? I don't know. Sometimes we do well, sometimes not so well. I know we've never had a deaf delegate, not a deaf delegate that only uses American Sign Language. We've not had one of them. Have we made strides? Black, Hispanic, LGBT? Yes, we've made strides. We haven't made strides with age. It's pretty much like you got to be retired to be a delegate. The average age is way up in the high 50s. That's the average. But then we can talk about socioeconomic. That's why I'm such a hard ass on the seventh tradition that we should fund properly our trusted servants. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It shouldn't matter if you're a stay-at-home husband or a stay-at-home wife. It shouldn't matter if you're a blue-collar worker or a white-collar professional. I think what we're saying there is we need everybody. And what I can tell you is, having been at a lot of conferences, most people look like they come out of the same, and I'm not talking color here. I'm talking like job, professional, whatever. Like the book is clear. A reliable cross section of AA. A quorum consists of two-thirds of the conference members registered. It will be understood we've gone over this a million times about advisory action, so I'm not going to really talk about that. But I will tell you that in Article 4, it does talk about reorganization. So this is why I struggle with when people say reorganization is punitive. Somebody's personal behaviors might be punitive, but reorganization is talked about in Article 4. I want to go to Article 10, the General Service Board composition, jurisdiction, responsibilities. The General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous shall be an incorporated trusteeship composed of alcoholics and non-alcoholics who elect their own successors. These choices being subject, however, to the approval of the conference or a committee thereof. I just want to point something out here because it's a debate all the time. And I want to make sure that I give a disclaimer. I am not saying that I'm in favor of throwing anyone off the General Service Board currently. I'm not saying in the last 6 years when we've had a couple of motions, and not only we've had motions for censure or reorganization, we've also had discussion about the slate. Does the conference vote for all of the trustees, or are they allowed to approve one at a time? I don't think I'm talking out of turn here. I'm reading the conference charter, the English language. That I speak and read is very clear. I will read it one more time. These choices being subject, however, to the approval of the conference or a committee thereof. So, elect their own successors. These choices being subject, it doesn't say. The trustees put one slate of 21 people, and that's all you get to vote for. It's very clear in that language that the conference has the right to approve or disapprove any individual who is put on the slate by the trustees nominating committee and therefore the General Service Board. Okay. I want to go to still Article 10, the paragraph that starts with accepting for decisions upon matters of policy, finance, or AA tradition, liably to affect AA as a whole. The General Service Board has entire freedom of action in the routine conduct of the policy and business affairs of AA. So I want to stress that. I'm not here for micromanaging the trustees. But what do they have entire freedom on? The routine business, not non-routine items, not large matters of policy and finance that we'll get to when we read Concept 6. I'm not going to go over the warranties of the conference because we'll go over that in depth. I do want to go to a couple of things. In the bylaws of the General Service Board. I know that, Brooke, if you could unmute, what appendix is your bylaws of the General Service Board?
He?
Okay. All right.
Oh,
Yeah.
of the General Service Board. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Yeah.
Of Alcoholics Anonymous. Hold on. So it's probably.
Oh.
He.
Page 129. Oh.
Yes.
It
Oh.
is O? Okay. All right. I just needed to check
Thanks,
because
Dave.
I'm still working on I need to change this out, but the new service manual is being created as I was leaving the board, so I have my draft of that one that I'm using tonight, so I know that it's not entirely numbered correctly. But these are the bylaws of the trustees. I want to point out a couple of things just so, because they're things that I think that people get told that aren't true or they don't know are there, and it's interesting. It does say the statement of purpose. The General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous has one purpose: serving the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's it. And it does make clear that the 12 steps constitute the recovery program on which the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is founded. They have one job: serve the fellowship, and it's made clear that the steps is our recovery program. I do, however, want to go to the paragraph that starts right after the 12 steps with the General Service Board, because as an individual member, I have great freedom. I do think, based on the paragraph I'm going to read, that our office, some of our delegates, and others have, see, when you have a title, you lose some freedom. It's kind of like an agreement with God. I'm going to get this fancy title, but I lose some of my freedom. As a trustee, I lost some of my freedom because I agree that I am going to uphold these bylaws. When you're not a trustee, you don't agree to uphold these bylaws. However, I have been at certain AA events in the last 10 years where either a trustee, a staff member, a director, even a delegate, has like said it's okay for certain groups to change the steps. Now, a delegate might have that flexibility because they're above the General Service Board level. But from the General Service Board level and below, these bylaws are intact, and it's very clear. It says the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous claims no proprietary right in the recovery program for these 12 steps as spiritual truths may now be regarded as available to all mankind. However, because these 12 steps have proven to constitute an effective spiritual basis for life, which, if followed, arrests the disease of alcoholism, the General Service Board asserts the negative right of preventing, so far as it may be within its power to do so, any modification, alteration, or extension of these 12 steps, except at the instance of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, in keeping with the charter of the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous, as the same may time from time be amended, hereinafter referred to as the charter. So I asked this question when I was a trustee to the General Service Board attorney. A direct question. This negative right that I'm supposed to uphold, does that mean that if I endorse people changing the steps, I'm going against the bylaws? And the attorney answered yes in the affirmative. So my point is very clear. I can say whatever I want if some group wants to modify the steps. But the trustees are bound legally and spiritually by these bylaws, and they do not have the right to do that unless they went through the process of getting all the registered groups to participate in a vote to change those steps. And it's right there in the bylaws. The next thing I want to point out is right after that paragraph above where the traditions are. People who know me know me. I say this all the time. Members of the General Service Conference, Alcoholics Anonymous, are hereinafter referred to as conference delegates. So it doesn't say area delegates are referred to as conference delegates. It says voting members of the conference. So trustees are delegates, directors are delegates, staff are delegates. They're just a different type of delegate. I want to go to The section on trustees, the paragraph that says the membership of the General Service Board shall consist of the trustees. Each trustee shall automatically become a member upon qualifying as a trustee and shall automatically cease to be a member upon being a trustee of the General Service Board. So, what does that mean? That means that in New York state law, there is a legal term called member. That's like the owner. The members of a nonprofit corporation. Trustee is not a legal name in New York nonprofit law. So every trustee is a member of the General Service Board. Every trustee is also a director of the General Service Board, although we never use director when referencing the General Service Board because the 21 members are the 21 directors. There's not a difference between owners and directors. But that can become complicated when people read it. A couple of things in here, important to see in the next paragraph what I just said. I wasn't making it up. As a condition of election as a member and as election as a trustee of the General Service Board, each person shall, before qualifying to serve as a member and trustee, execute an appropriate instrument addressed to the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, stating that each person agrees to comply with and be bound by the terms and provisions of these bylaws. So this is not Billy the hard ass picking on atheist and agnostic groups, especially since I used to be an atheist, right? And on any given day can be agnostic as can be. I believe in what it says in the big book for sure. And I believe that it says at the end of how it works, God could and would if he was sought, not found, just sought. However, the bylaws are clear. I don't get to willy-nilly change the steps because they're offending someone in my group. Now, as a member, could I do that? Sure. But as a trustee, I cannot condone it or advocate for it or endorse it. Because of the provision I just read, I have to sign and execute a document, a code of conduct, where I say I am going to uphold the bylaws. Okay. It goes on the next page to talk about who's on the board and stuff like that. But I just want to point out one thing is. The paragraph, so under trustees, one, two, three, four, the paragraph that starts with except. It's the fourth paragraph under trustees. Now, this is perhaps the greatest singleness of purpose literature in all of Alcoholics Anonymous, believe it or not, hidden in the bylaws of the General Service Board. Because, let me read to you what it says. There shall be 14 Class B member trustees. These Class B member trustees are designated as ex-alcoholic only because, in common speech of man, an ex-alcoholic is an individual who at one time imbibed. So let's just get that straight right away. At one time imbibed, meaning drank, okay? Now, let's go further. Who at one time imbibed alcoholic beverages excessively and uncontrollably, but who now does not imbibe at all. For the purpose of these bylaws, an ex-alcoholic shall be referred to as an alcoholic, which means within the terminology of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. So let me just tell you, these people and a bunch of delegates who are out there telling people that you don't need to have drank to be an AA member, or you don't need to be an alcoholic, like it's right there. The way I look at it, every member of AA should be able to become a trustee someday. But if you're telling people who don't excessively and uncontrollably drink alcoholic beverages that they're AA members, they don't qualify to be alcoholic trustees in the future. The bylaws are super clear. It's the best piece of singleness of purpose literature we have. I want to go on to something that a lot of people don't know is in here. Give me 1 second. I just need to find a line, and I thought I had it highlighted, but I don't. It talks about when you can remove a trustee. It's not really that exciting. But there is something in here that a lot of people don't know is in here. Okay. Under the section meetings, notices, and vote, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs down, the line that starts with whenever. If something passes on the General Service Board and you vote in the minority, you get to give minority opinion. But there is a safeguard in the bylaws, and nobody ever talks about this. Let's say a vote passes, I don't know, 20 to 16, whatever. I'm sorry, I didn't mean 20 to 16. I meant like, I don't know, like 20 to 6, you know, or 14 to 6, whatever. There's a safeguard in the bylaws, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, whenever in the judgment of one-third of member trustees present at a meeting, a decision to take any action involves a matter of principle or basic policy, and in the judgment of at least one-third of the member trustees, a delay in arriving at a decision will not adversely affect the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, the matter shall be admitted to a mail vote, mail meaning M-A-I-L vote, of conference delegates. So, if you're on the board and you think the board is doing something really crazy, you only need one-third of the board members to agree with you. And you can stop a General Service Board action and send it to a poll of the conference delegates. We act like that's not in there, but it is in there. After minority opinion, if a trustee feels something is that crazy and nobody changes their mind and the vote stays, that trustee can make a motion that they believe this thing is so vital, they want to delay the decision and have a mail or electronic poll of the delegates. They only need one-third of the trustees, 7, to vote in favor of that, according to the bylaws. So I know we've had a lot of talk about some pretty serious things at the board level the last couple of years. And I've heard a lot of numbers thrown around. I heard some numbers thrown around last year around the chair resignation. I remember when I asked one of the people, I said, if you thought this was such a mistake, why didn't you make a motion to go to a vote of the conference members? You would have only needed 7 people. Like, we act like this is not there, but I just want to assure you, there is a safeguard there. There is a safeguard. And it's not to vote against it. It's to delay action until the conference can weigh in, the entire conference. I know we're running out of some time. The bylaws of AAWS talk about the 9 directors. But the important thing to know is, who's the owners of AAWS? The trustees. They're the members. Who's the owners of AA Grapevine? The trustees. They're the members. Who's the president of the General Service Board? That's a good trivia question. Right now it's Scott. The president of the General Service Board is the chair of the General Service Board. It's unlike the affiliate corporations where the president is the senior executive. AAWS, the president of that corporation is Bob W. AA Grapevine, Chris K. But the General Service Board, it's a trustee. All three bylaws say that an employee can never be the chair and can never chair meetings. That was a new New York State law in like 2014 that employees cannot be the chairs of nonprofit boards. I'm going to go to questions because there's not a lot of time and there's some questions piling up. So what would be the consequences of the trustees if they do not uphold the bylaws of trying to change the steps? There seems to be concern with the plain language big book that there will be a variation of 12 steps. According to the delegates and what was reported from the conference, there is an explanation of the steps, not a translation. I'm not talking about, my example was not talking about the plain language big book. I was specifically talking about secular AA, and they're distributing actual copies of the steps that are changed. Someone said they think the stuff about the meetings is bore that I said is boring. Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, I told you. If you're really into these, then read them 10 times. I mean it, 10 times. Highlight them 10 times. And then call me and tell me that you have a bunch of questions, and I will take my time. We'll put time aside. How often has that motion been used historically? I am told the last time it passed was like 40 years ago, 50 years ago. If you're talking about the one-third of trustees, I have seen it used in executive session when I was a trustee. I can't report the outcome of that. It was executive session, but there was no poll to the, but it's there. It is there to stop things that are super important. It just has to be used properly. And unfortunately, in those situations, a lot of emotion is going on sometimes. It's really for somebody to say, hey, you guys just voted like 17 to 4 or 17 to 3. But this is a real issue that's going to have a lot of effect on AA as a whole and at the public level. So I make a motion that we let the conference weigh in on it. And what that bylaw provision does is I don't need to get a majority of the board. I only need to get one-third of the board to agree with me, and it goes to a poll of the conference members. Very few people have any idea that it is there. Does anyone else have any questions on the charter and the bylaws of the General Service Board? People ask lots of questions about what happens when you serve as a trustee or a director and they get sued and everything else. There's a massive indemnification section at the end of the bylaws that says all trustees and directors are indemnified to the full extent possible by the board. And their insurance companies. And that goes for all actions acting as a trustee or director, even if it happens after you rotate off. If it's something that happened when you were on the board, they have to indemnify you. Something else I wanted to mention. Hold on one second. There's updates you'll see in there about telephone and conference calls. Those were never in there. Oh, you know what's something that I forgot that I just want to go back and talk about? And I want to go to Because this is an important thing to understand, and it's a nuance for sure. So I want to go to the conference charter for a second. So if you are in Article 10 of the conference charter, and you go down to the paragraph that starts with the charter and the bylaws. It says the charter and bylaws of the General Service Board or any amendments thereto should always be subject to the approval of the General Service Conference by a two-thirds vote of all its members. So I just want to explain what that means. The AAWS and AA Grapevine bylaws have to be approved by the General Service Board, acting as the member owners of those corporations. But the trustees, the General Service Board, do not have the authority to change their own bylaws. The conference charter has made clear from the start of our structure that if they want to make changes to the bylaws, they have to submit them to the Conference Committee on Trustees. And if they like them, they'll submit them to the floor for a recommendation. But the trustees do not have the authority to change their own bylaws. How often has that motion been? Oh, do you need a second on that motion? It's not really kind of a motion because it's a technical use of the bylaws. Because most motions need a majority vote to pass, right? It does not require a second. It just says if one-third of the board agrees that something is too important, then if one-third of the board says so, it should go to the conference for a vote by poll, mail, email, whatever. There's a question about all the pending floor actions not discussed at this year's General Service Conference. Well, I was not there, right? I was not there. So I don't have firsthand experience. I've heard from lots of people about it. I think sometimes we have to be careful that our words match our actions. We can't pick and choose. So, I have asked enough people, what time did they decide to stop hearing floor actions? And I believe I have a good cross section of what I believe to be within a half an hour of what time that was. And it was stopped because it was too late. And they said they had to pay translators, and I'm just reporting. However, and we also, by the way, have a we do have an advisory action that says no late night floor actions in the waning hours of the conference. It's there in writing in 1987. That we shouldn't be doing things in the late hours, and we should send it to next year's conference committee. So I can get that far, except that a magic new rule was made for the preamble when they changed it. If they use the time limit for stopping the floor actions this year, during the year they changed the preamble vote would have never happened. So I worry about things like that. Why did the chairs let the conference go far into the night, 1:30, 2 in the morning? Because they wanted the preamble changed. But yet this year they stopped. That's why I always tell people, as a rule, if you are chairing an AA committee, it's always good to have one of your friends go over the time limit and to cut them off right away. So that everybody knows you're going to apply the 2-minute time rule to everybody, not just the people I can't stand listening to or I don't agree with, but that everything is going to be equal and equitable. And so I understand why they stopped it this year. I just have a hard time that we have different rules for different situations. And based on the topic we're discussing. And that doesn't make sense to me. And based on the vote, and one thing about the people who voted against the plain language, they're not shy in telling you they voted against the plain language, right? So I think I have a good idea of most of those 38 people or so were delegates, area delegates. They were not trustees, directors, or staff. So I say that because, and I have a lot of friends that are trustees, directors, and staff. I say that because it appears that that group of people was very in favor of the plain language big book this year, which is okay. That's their right. But then they shut down discussion of the floor actions. But yet the same group of people who were worried that the preamble wouldn't get passed, in that other situation, they did the opposite. They kept the conference going way after midnight. So things like that, I think we have to be better at, or it sets a bad example.
You have
I'm
not.
going to read one last one. I'll be finishing quick. Does the conference charter supersede the bylaws of the General Service Conference? Yes, of course. Is there a legal prerogative that they tell them to do something crazy? Yes, then the trustees can say, we're not going to do this. But the concepts are clear. The spiritual supersedes the legal. That's what makes us different from anybody else. Thanks, Brooke. Have a good night.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.